We're holding on Yud Beis Amud Aleph by the two dots, eight lines from the top. The Mishnah had presented a machlokes between Reb Meir and the Chachamim. What happens? A person says to a shliach, take this get for my wife, or take this shtar shichur for my eved. So now, after the shliach has left, the person wants to change his mind and be mevatel the shlichus. We're actually going to learn later on in the Masechta that once a person, the Chachamim eventually made a takana, as far as a get, that he can't rescind it after the shliach left, because that could create tremendous problems. Of course, you know, the shliach may not realize that the shlichus was rescinded, and then he's going to give the get to the wife, and there's going to be tremendous problems if she uses it and remarries. But right now we're dealing with the basic question, whether he even has the ability to rescind it on a daraisa level even. So the mayor had said that both of them, he has the ability to rescind the shlichus, because the mayor holds that both of them, both the get and the shichur, are considered a choiv for the other person. And we know, they're considered a detriment for the other person. And we know, of course, zochin la'odim shalai b'fanav, you can create a zchus for somebody when they're not present, but not a choiv. And Reb Meir takes the view that both of them, both the get and the shtar shichur, are considered a choiv. The Chum say that no, a get, we agree, is considered a choiv for her, but a shichur avodim is not. And the Chachamim say in the Mishnah, because after all, with a wife, the husband doesn't have the option of not supporting her. So now when she gets divorced, in other words, she's losing out. Before she was entitled to support from her husband, now when she gets divorced, she's not. As opposed to an Eved, the Chum said in the Mishnah, after all, the master doesn't really have to support him anyhow, as we're now going to discuss at great length in the Gemara. We're talking about an Eved Knani, of course, an Eved Ivri. First of all, you're required to, and second of all, you don't use a Shtar Shichru for him. There are other means of setting him free. But anyway, the Chum say, given that an Eved Knani, you anyway not, strictly speaking, obligated to support, then therefore he's not losing anything by being freed, because before he wasn't necessarily entitled to support from you, and now also he's not going to. So now the Gemara is going to get into that whole, so now on Yud Beis Amud Aleph, now the Gemara is going to get into a whole discussion about this point. What exactly, what rights does the master in fact have to do that, to say to a slave that I won't support you? So the Gemara says, the Mishnah had said, that if the master wants to not support the Eved, then he's not obligated to. So the Gemara asks, Shamat Mina. Now, does that imply, now the Mishnah is not saying one way or the other whether we're talking about that the Eved is actually doing work for the master. So we could be talking about, in other words, hypothetically, the Mishnah could be talking about a case where the slave is anyway not doing work for the master, for example, because he ran away, or just because the master currently says, I don't need you to do anything for me, and therefore maybe he's not obligated to support him. But now the question is, what about if he is working for him? Is he obligated to support him? So Shamat Mina, can we derive from our Mishnah, Yochol HaRav Loim LaEved, that a master has the ability to say to an Eved Kani, I say imi ve'eni zonach, you work for me, but I'm not obligated to support you. Rather, you will have to go around and collect tzedakah for yourself. In other words, that the Gemara is asking is, can we deduce from the Mishnah that the master never has the obligation to support the slave, whether the slave is working for him or not, because after all, the Mishnah didn't say one way or the other. It sounds like in all cases, even if the slave has been working for the master, that still he's not obligated to support him, and the Chachamim are saying, and therefore it's not a choiv for the Eved, it can be considered a schus for the Eved to be freed. In fact, the Pnei Yeshua, I think it is, discusses what's the Gemara's have Amina in the first place. Shouldn't the Gemara have assumed very obviously that there's a difference between the two cases? And he explains at some length that since the Mishnah is not saying in so many words that it's a schus for him, just maybe we could say it's not a choiv. It's enough for us to say that it's not a choiv for the shliach to be able to acquire the shtar on behalf of the Eved. So it may not be a schus, but at least it's not a choiv. So then in that case, that could even be maybe in the case where the Eved has where the Eved is working for the master and the master is not supporting him. And the question is, is the Mishnah implying that he's able to do that? So the Gemara says not necessarily, because Hachab Mayaskinan, because you could say, what are we talking about over here? De Omale, say Masia Dechalum Zenisacha. Suppose that the master says to the slave, we're going to exchange. You keep your maisi yodecha and you use it for your food. In other words, you're asking, the makshin is asking that you could have that the slave is working for the master and earning money for him, and still the master is not obligated to support him and tells him, go collect tzedakah for yourself. I'll give you an hour a day off work and you'll go collect tzedakah for yourself, whatever it is. But the Gemara is saying, not necessarily. You could say, when is the master not obligated to support him? When is the Mishnah talking about? When he tells him to begin with that, or not to begin with, at some point he tells him that that from now on, I don't want your maisi adecha, I don't want your earnings. You keep them for yourself and you support yourself. So in that tip, that doesn't necessarily show where he's saying, I'm going to take your earnings and that you should have to collect tzedakah, not necessarily. So the Gemara says, well, well, then the parallel case with a woman, with a wife has to be, because after all, the Mishnah is contrasting the two, with the Chachamim in the Mishnah are contrasting the two cases and saying there's something that he's able to do with an Eved that he's not able to do with his wife. Well, with a wife, then evidently we have to be talking about also the case where he says to the wife, you keep your maisi adayich and you get your own mezonis instead. So what's the problem? Isha my loy. So why shouldn't he be able to do that with his wife? In fact, on the face of it, he could do that. The whole point is, we learned in Ksubas, that the husband is required to support his wife. In return for that, he's entitled to Maisi Yodeha. So if he doesn't want to, Maisi Yodeha, and he says, you go support yourself, then he's able to. So why shouldn't we say, if you're going to tell me, in other words, if you're going to tell me that our Mishnah is specifically talking about the case where he's not supporting them, then yeah, the husband has no right to unilaterally say, you, my wife, have to work and earn money for me and I don't have to support you. That's not going to fly. So then we could say that on the other hand, with an Eved, he'd be able to do that. But if you're going to tell me that the Mishnah is not necessarily implying that, and the most he can tell an Eved is say Masia Decha B'mzenesecha, well, then he'd have the ability to say that to his wife as well. So how is the Mishnah contrasting them? So the Gemara answer is okay. You could say Isha B'dloy Sofka, because you could say the case with the wife in the Mishnah would be where her Masia Deha are not enough to support her. So he has to add more of his own. So therefore the Mishnah is saying, so sure, he'd be able to say Tsi Masia Dayach Mizonisayach. But here, where the fact is not enough for Mizonisayach, then he needs to add extra. So on the other hand, the Mishnah would be saying, by an Eved, it's not like that. It's not quite enough, but that doesn't matter. He can tell the guy to collect tzedakah for the rest. Well, the Gemara says, Eved Nami B'Deloy Sofik. Well, in that case, then with the Eved, you have the same problem also. If the Maisi Yodov are not enough to support him, then how could we say that? Then how can the Chachamim say in the Mishnah that he's not obligated to support him? And the Gemara answers, Abdenuhum Kresa Le Shavia, because when you have a slave whose work is not even worth as much as the bread he eats, so the amount that he brings in as income is not even equal to the amount he eats. Lamore Lamorse Lamai Misboy, then what does his master and his mistress need him for? So in other words, when you have an Eved like that, then the master may well say, look, I'm not necessarily going to free you, especially we're going to learn later on in the sect that there's actually a mitzvah's essay involved, that you're not supposed to free an Eved Kanani without a good reason. But it doesn't give me any economic benefit to have to be supporting you when your work is not even worth as much as the amount that I'm giving you. So you use your Maisi Yodecha to support yourself. If that's enough for you, good for you. And if not, tough luck. Go beg for tzedakah. That doesn't necessarily show that the master can still say, I'm going to take your Maisi Yodecha and you need to go support yourself with tzedakah. Maybe not necessarily. So maybe you don't have a proof one way or the other from the Mishnah about whether he can keep the guy's Maisi Yadayim and also require him to go support himself some other way. Anyway, okay, so the Gemara continues. So Toshma, let's try to bring Tosfos brings up the point. What was the Gemara's Havamina then? What was the Gemara's Havamina that the master should be required to support him in that case? And the answer is Tosfos says, because very often you find, even when the master tells him, say Masi Adechem of Zenesecha, it's very common that actually the slave still does work for the master. He doesn't necessarily say at that point, you know what, fine, then you've washed your hands of me, I've washed my hands of you, and we're not having to do with each other. In practice, Tosfos says the slave often does do work for the master as well. So therefore, the Gemara was assuming that maybe in that case, he should be, even if the amount that he's bringing in is not even equivalent to the amount of bread that he's eating, maybe still the master should be required to feed him. And then the Gemara is saying that not necessarily. Marsha points out further that the Makshin may consider that a question, and then the Mataritz, the Gemara, when it gives the answer, is saying to begin with, we don't have a reason to think that way. All right, the Gemara says, Toshma, let's try to bring a proof. A Braisa says, Eved should golo l'orei miklat. Suppose that an Eved goes in golos to the orei miklat. So an Eved killed somebody accidentally. We know a person kills accidentally, he has to run away to the orei miklat. Here you have an Eved Kanani that is in that situation. So ein rabbi chayev lazunoi. So the Braisa says his master is not obligated to support him there in the ir miklat. And not only that, but whatever he earns still goes to his master. In other words, to finish up with the previous discussion, by the way, so the point was, with an Eved, if he's not worth as much as you're feeding him, then you have no, then you can say, I'm not obligated to support you. With a wife, you don't have that, no matter whether, the fact is, you agreed in the Ksuba to support her for better or for worse. Anyway, so now we're saying, okay, so an Eved goes to an Ir Miklat, in Rabbi Chayev L'Zoy, now his master is not obligated to support him. Not only that, but his Maisi Yadav go to his master. So Shmamina, doesn't that prove Yochel Arav Loimel Eved Asi Emi Ve'en Ezonav? Doesn't that show that there you have an example where the master is saying, you have to work for me because I'm going to still keep your earnings when you're in the Orei Miklat, and I'm not obligated to support you. So that would seem to show that you could do that. And the answer is, again, the Gemara says, Hoch Maya Skinan, Do Omoloi, Say Masi Adechel Mzene Secha. No, because again, we could be talking about that we're saying that the master is saying, as long as you're in the Ir Miklat, then you work for yourself, you keep your earnings for yourself, and you support yourself. Well, the Gemara says, Hochi Maisi Yoder, Maila Rabbi. Well, in that case, then why are we saying that his earnings go to his master? And the answer is lahad dofa. The answer is as far as the excess. So you have, so he makes, let's say, for example, the amount that he needs for food per day is $10 a day. Now, if he earns $15 a day, then the extra $5 can go to his master because he doesn't need them for his support. So the Gemara says, hahad dofa pshita. Well, isn't that obvious? Why should the Braisa even need to tell us that? And the answer is mau detema. Because otherwise you would have thought, given the key less layla, after all, we're saying that at this point, we're assuming, again, we're not sure whether the master always has an obligation to support the Eved, unless he tells him, say Masi Adechem Zenesecha. So you could have that if his Maisi Yadav are not enough, then maybe we're saying maybe, given that even if he doesn't make enough, the master is not obligated to support him, because maybe that's what we were just saying before. If he doesn't even earn as much as his keep, then maybe the master can say, you know what, I have no benefit from having you as a slave. You might as well support yourself, and whatever you can't, you'll go beg for tzedakah. So given that that's the case, you should say maybe the other way around. Ki isle, when the Eved does make more than what he's worth, then Nami Lelishko Mine, then the Odin shouldn't be able to take it away from him because he should be able to keep it. He should be able to keep it for a rainy day. What if it happens sometime that the so right now he's earning $15 a day and all he needs is $10 a day for his food. And what happens if in the future he loses? What happens if in the future he ends up with a job that pays only $5 a day and it's not going to be enough? And we're going to say that the master is not obligated to give him the other $5 a day. Maybe we should say he should be able to keep it in order and be able to save it for a situation like that. Kamash Malan, therefore you could say that the Braisa is telling us that not the master is not obligated to worry about eventualities like that. He can say any time you're making more than $10 a day, you need to give me the extra as long as you're in the Ore Mikla. As far as what happens if later on you end up getting a lesser paying job, that's your problem. At that point, then you can go ask Jews for tzedakah there in the Ore Mikla. So you can't necessarily, so still, we don't have a solid proof one way or the other whether he's able to only say Masi Adecha B'mizene Secha, or whether he's able to say B'chlal, I'm going to take all of your earnings and you're going to go beg for tzedakah for the entire $10 a day that you need for food. We can't prove it one way or the other.
But Ore Mikla doesn't say anywhere that it's only for Yidden.
Well, even if it is, an Eved is still considered a Yid to that extent. He's chayev in mitzvahs like women, after all. That, by the way, is the whole basis that we're saying in the sugya that he can go beg for tzedakah. The Gemara is going to explain soon. We're going to discuss soon that, after all, there is, to a certain extent, a mitzvah, just like there's a mitzvah to support a fellow Yid and give him tzedakah, there is, to a certain degree, such a mitzvah as far as an Eved as well. Tosfos elsewhere says maybe it's not as much of a mitzvah, but there's still a shtickle mitzvah in it. But besides that, actually, in any case, the Pesukim do say that the Ore Miklat are also meant for Geirei Toshav. So if they're meant even for Geirei Toshav, who are only keeping the Shev Mitzvah and Nayach, then yeah, all the more so they're available for Avadim. Okay, so the Gemara asks to Maishna the Ore Miklat. Well, in that case then why is it different in the case of Ore Miklat? In that case, why is the Braisa saying specifically about the case where the Eved had to run away to the Ore Miklat? Meaning, Tosfos says, now like this, when it comes to the Ore Miklat, the Pasuk mentions it a number of times throughout Chumash about the mitzvah of running away to the Ore Miklat. And in at least one of those places, the Torah uses the expression vochoi. I think Gemara is going to quote the pasuk soon that when a person runs away, that's going to be the Gemara's answer. So let's learn the Gemara first, actually, and then we'll talk about Tosfos. So the Gemara asks, "Maishna la Ore Miklat." So why, in that case, then, if this din applies all the time, that always the master can say "Asei mi ve'ene zanach," then why is the Braisa presenting the case specifically when he went to the Ore Miklat? The same din would apply any place. And the answer is Sakrat Hamina, because otherwise, without the Braisa telling us, you would have thought, since by the Ore Miklat, the Pasuk tells us, one of the times when it mentions the Ore Miklat in Parashas Vaschanan, it says that he should run away Vochoi, and he should live, which implies Ovid Leichayusatve. Maybe it means that you're obligated to make for him an extra possibility of Chayus. So it might be implying, in other words, that in that case, the Odin had the master has a special responsibility to make sure that the Eved has enough to live on, and therefore that you would say that maybe then he can't take away the extra from him. Kamash Malan, and therefore the Braisa would be saying that even in that case, not. So in other words, Tosfos teaches out the question, if you say that the master is able to say, Aseimi ve'ene zonach, then you could say, so that means that even though it says v'choy, nevertheless, we're still saying he has the right to say, I'm taking all of your earnings and I'm not going to support you. V'choy doesn't include that I have to support you. But now, if you're going to tell me that the Braisa is telling us only that he's able to take the extra above the $10 a day, let's say, then the question would be, what would be the chiddush? What would be the chiddush in it? And the answer is that even so, there's a chiddush, because you would think the word b'choy would tell us maybe that he can't take that excess. So Mar Shah points out, by the way, in that case, then why did the Gemara say hadaf pshita? Then it's not so posh. And he says, on the other hand, that the fact is that we see that when suppose a man's wife has to run away to the Ori Miklat, so the husband is still obligated to support her, and still he keeps the hadafa, he keeps anything extra more than she needs for her support. So shouldn't it be obvious the same thing as in the case of the Eved? And the answer is that in the case of an Eved, since after all the master doesn't have, as we said before, the obligation to support him if he doesn't make enough for his food, whereas with a wife he does, then we would have thought that maybe in the case of the Ori Miklat it's different, and therefore the Braisa is telling us that now. Okay, so we still don't have a proof one way or the other. So the Gemara asks, "V'hamid katani sefer," but let's consider the next part of the Braisa. "Avo isha shegosa la'Ori Miklat," where the Braisa continues that if a man's wife has to run away to the Ori Miklat because she killed b'shogeg, "b'ayla chayev b'mesenaseha," then her husband is chayev to give her mezonos miklal. So obviously we have to be talking about a case where the husband hadn't previously told her that from now on you'll support yourself, because after all, if her husband did tell her that, then why would she be chayev? The fact is, as we learned in Kesubis, if he says, we had a machloikas over there, whether it has to be a mutual agreement between them, whether they have to both agree to this deal of tzimasi adayachim zanisayach or not, but whatever the case, the point is, such a deal can be arranged, that she's from now on going to support herself. So obviously, though, if we're saying that the husband is still required to support her while she's in the Ori Miklat, then it means that so there was no such arrangement made. So therefore, if in the sefer, in the case of the wife, we're talking about that no such deal was made, reisha nami delay omale, then evidently in the reisha, it would also be where no such deal was made. So he never told him so it doesn't matter whether he said that or not. Either way, he's able to tell him, I'm keeping you masiyadecha, and if that means that you don't have anything to support yourself, then you're going to have to go beg for tzedakah. It seems, now that we analyze the braisa that way, that it means that the braisa would be saying, in the case of a wife, so like this, if they said say masia decha b'mzenesecha, or to a wife see masia decha b'mzenesayich, then of course they get to keep their earnings as much as they need to eat, and then hadafa, anything extra we're saying goes to the husband or the master respectively. But we would be saying, the Braisa is not necessarily talking about that case, because the Braisa is talking about when it says the husband is chayev and the mezonos for the wife implies that no such deal was made. So therefore, we're talking about the regular case where the husband is obligated to support his wife and he gets her ma'asiyah deha, and the parallel case with an eved would be the same. And the Braisa is saying, no, that he's not obligated to support the slave. He gets to keep the slave's ma'asiyah deha and not support him. So that would show then that it is allowed to do that. So the Gemara answers la'olam de'omale, not necessarily. We could be talking about where they did make a deal of ma'asiyah decha against mezonosecha, that you keep your ma'asiyah decha and you support yourself. The isha b'dalai safka, again, we could say in the case of a wife, we're talking about where it's not enough for her. So she eats $10 a day worth of food, and her ma'asiyah deha are only enough for $5. So then he's obligated to make up the extra $5, where we'd be saying in the case of an eved, not, because we said before, in the case of an eved, you have to consider whether it's worthwhile for him to even feed an eved whose ma'asiyah deha are not worth enough or are not worth as much as what he earns. But not necessarily are we saying that he can take the entire earnings of the wife or the entire earnings of the Eved? Not necessarily. So the Gemara asks, "V'hamid katoni sefer v'im omlat si masia dach b'mzenisayach rashoi." But the Braisa continues that if he says si masia dach b'mzenisayach, he has the ability to do that. Miklal dereisha b'lo yomala. Doesn't that show that the beginning of the Braisa is talking about where he didn't make any such deal with her? So, So therefore, so that would show. So we'd say, in other words, within a wife, we'd say there's two. There's a difference. Is it sofka? Is it is it that her maisi adeha are enough to support her? Then good. Then in that case, she supports herself, and only anything extra, anything above the $10 a day, goes to her husband. Anything, if she makes below $10 a day, then the husband's going to have to support her. And then we'd be saying that. And we'd be saying if she doesn't, whatever the case, he's always obligated to support her. On the other hand, with an eved, so we could say, so the Brice would be saying, with an eved, whether or not he made such a deal, he's not necessarily required to support him. So it could even be maybe that the Brice is saying that he is able to take the eved's maisi yadav and still not support him. So the Gemara says, no, Hoki Kamar. No, because the Braisa is not necessarily talking about two different cases within the woman. You're thinking, in other words, that there can be a case where he says, where he's the normal situation where he's obligated to support her versus the other case where he says, see, Masiya Daichlam is an Asayach. The Gemara is saying, not necessarily. Hoki Kamar, but im maspekas, if she earns enough to be able to support herself, and then he says that in that case, then you support yourself, and you keep your earnings and you support yourself, then he's allowed to, but not necessarily is the Braisa, addressing the case where Eina Maspekes, where it's not enough to support her, where the husband is obligated to support her as long as she's in the Orei Miklat. So the Braisa is not necessarily the Braisa is not necessarily addressing that case. So the Braisa would be saying that if Maspekas, then he's able to do that. But if Eina Maspekas, if it's not enough for her, then he's not able to do that. He's not able to say that I'm going to keep your Maisi Yodayich. And the same thing with the Eved then. So not necessarily do we have a proof one way or the other from the Braisa whether the Eved, whether he has the right to say to the Eved, I'm taking your Maisi Yodayich. And you support yourself
during that time where he's when he tells her you support yourself whatever it is, because is she mechuyev to make his bed do all those things?
Well, she's in the Orei Miklat, practically speaking. Yeah, but he
also moves in.
Not necessarily does he move there. I mean, it sounds like the Gemara is assuming that she's stuck in the Orei Miklat. He's not necessarily obligated to accompany her. He might if he wants to, but he's not necessarily obligated to Bapashtus. So during that time, I guess, yeah, she's not making his bed and doing the other household and doing the other household tasks for him. Yeah. Anyway. So the Gemara asks, Maspekas my memra. Well, if you're talking about where it's enough for her, where then what's the chiddush? Of course, if she's able to earn enough to support herself, then he's able to say tzi masia daichlam zenisayich. Again, Tosfa says, if you're going to tell me that the Braisa that everything in the Braisa is talking about the case of where it's enough for her, then you're saying that the end of the Braisa that says that he's able to say is really only to tell us that you have two cases, one where he didn't tell her that, one where he did tell her that, and we'd be saying that it depends in that case, then it depends whether he's able to take her Masiya Deho or not. Depends whether they made a deal like that. But if you're going to tell me that the beginning of the Braisa that says he's obligated to support her is talking about where she can't make enough to support herself, and then in the Sefer you're saying it's where she can make enough to support herself, then what's the Chiddush? Of course, there'd be a difference when Eina Maspekas, he can't tell her such a thing, and when Maspekas, he could. The Gemara answers, Maud Tema, because otherwise, without the Braisa having told us, you would have thought, after all, the pasuk says Kol Kvod Bas Melech Pnima, the whole glory of the king's daughter, and Rashi points out Kol Yisrael or Bnei Melachim is supposed to be on the inside. So it's not. So especially, it's one thing if she Rashi points out this is not even a city where she's from originally. She's in the Orei Miklat. It's in a strange city. So therefore, so you might have thought that he can't require her to go out and make her and make a parnasa for herself over there. So it's one thing. In other words, Rashi explains, if she was living in her hometown, then fine, she could be earning money. People could be bringing her things to do at home. So for example, she has a reputation in the town as an expert spinner, for example, so people will bring her their wool, for example, to spin, and she'll make money that way. So she doesn't necessarily have to leave the house for the purpose. But if she's in a strange city, how is anybody going to know? She's going to have to go around and advertise. So you would think maybe it's less theistic for her to do that. And therefore, the husband And therefore, maybe the husband doesn't have the ability, even when maspekes, to say tzi masi adayich b'mzenisayich, because it's going to require her to go out and publicize herself. So kamash malan. Therefore, the Mishnah, therefore the Braisa would be telling us that nevertheless he is able to do that. So as long as there is some way that she can support herself, then he's not chayev to support her. But that doesn't necessarily show that the Braisa is talking about a case of eina maspekes, where whatever she makes is not going to be enough to support her. Where they didn't make the deal, that he should have the right to take her ma'asiyah deha, no. And by the same token, by the Eved, then we can't show from the Braisa necessarily that he has the right to take the Eved's earnings and then not support him. Okay. So the Gemara says, Lema katanoi. Should we say that this whole point of whether a person is required, it can take his Eved's earnings and still not support him, should we say that this is a machloikas tanoi? A Braisa says, Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer, Yochol Eved Loimer L'Rabbi B'Shnei Batzoras. A slave is an Eved Knani. Again, as we're talking about throughout the sugya, is able to tell his master during years of famine, when there's a drought and prices are higher than they normally are. So he can say to the master, Oy Parnaseni, either take care of me and give me food, Oy Hotzieni L'Cherus, or set me free. And where's the Chum say? The master has the option of whichever he wants to do. He's not obligated. The master has the ability to keep him as an Eved and not support him. So on the face of it, then, this is the exact machlokas that we're talking about. My lab bahokamithagi, the marsava yachol, the marsava any yachol. So it sounds like the Tanakama is saying that he could say to the Eved, "Asay me the enizonach. You have to work for me. You have to earn money for me, but I'm not obligated to support you. You can go around and beg for tzedakah." Whereas Reb Shimon Gamliel, it sounds like a saying, not like that. Which actually Tosfos points out in that case, when Reb Shimon Gamliel uses the expression "Hitzienu l'cheiros," he doesn't even necessarily mean literally free me. He just means let me keep my own earnings, like a ben chorin would. Anyway, so the Gemara says, the Tisbara, how could you think like that? In that case, then why is he saying the option, either support me or free me? Then in that case, the expression of Shimon Gamliel should be saying, is the Eved has saying to the master, one of the two, either support me or let me keep my Masi Yodai to support myself. So in other words, why would there even be it? So okay, Tosfos had said that you could say that maybe l'cheiros means it's lav davka. But in that case, why is Reb Shimon Gamliel using such a lav davka expression? If you're telling me the machloikas between them is whether the master is always obligated to support the Eved, then it should be more clear. Instead of saying hitzieni l'cheiros, he should say clearly, let me keep my ma'asi yada, let me keep my earnings. Also, why would it be any different during years of drought? According to Reb Shimon Gamliel, it sounds like he should be able to make that argument anytime. Ella, no, we have to say the machlokas here is on a different point. So we're talking about, to begin with, the master had said to the Eved, you keep your ma'asi yadecha and you feed yourself. The difference is v'shnei batzoras lo sipik. What happened now is, normally that would work. Normally his earnings are $10 a day and that's enough to support him. But now, doing Shnei Batzoras, prices have gone up. And now the same amount of food is going to cost him $15 a day and he can't afford that. So now, Reb Shimon Gamliel Savar, Oy Parnaseni, Oy Hotzieni L'Cheiros. So now, Reb Shimon Gamliel is saying, why does the Eved have the ability to say, either feed me or free me? Because if you free me, Ki Hechi D'Chozuli Inshi U'Merachman Alai. That way people will see, now I'm going to be, once I'm freed, I'm a full-fledged yid, that way people will have more rachmanos on me and they'll give me tzedakah. Rabban and Sadri, man the merachim, abnei chori, ya'eved nami rachumi merachim, whereas the chachamim take the view that whoever is going to have rachmanos on a ben chorin, on a regular yid, is also going to have rachmanos on an eved, they will give him tzedakah, and therefore it's not necessary to free him in order to. So Gilian Ashas, Rabbi Akiva Eger, refers over here to a Tosfos in Baba Kama that says, I mentioned it briefly before, that there's not as much of a mitzvah to support an eved as there is to support a born yid. But a mitzvah there still is, because again, an eved is chayiv in mitzvahs to a certain extent. So therefore, so the Chachamim are saying that you don't need, the Eved doesn't have the ability to say, you free me, in order that people should have Nachmanus on me. Enough people will be able, we'll figure there's a shtickle mitzvah in it also, and support him.
And people
of Batsodas, it may be harder for people to do, but nevertheless, the fact is that Jews have a mitzvah to support the Avodim Knanim among them, so therefore, there is a shtickle mitzvah in it, and he'll still get. Tosfos actually points out that later on in the Masechta, you have another sugya about avodim. Suppose an eved was taken, was captured by goyim, and then another yid redeemed him from the goyim. So the question is, who owns him now? Basically, who does he work for now? And Shimon Gamliel over there mentions the point that it's a mitzvah to also redeem avodim. So there you see that Shimon Gamliel is saying there's more of a mitzvah, and not more of a mitzvah. He's saying over there that the Chachamim are saying over there that that you want to give people an incentive to free avodim. We want to give them a financial incentive. Therefore, let the second master keep him and use him as an eved. Otherwise, he has no financial incentive to free him. And Rav Shimon Gamliel says there's a mitzvah too. So there, Rav Shimon Gamliel is saying there's a mitzvah to free them. Here, Rav Shimon Gamliel is saying there's not that much of a mitzvah to give him tzedakah. So that Tosfos says, because the difference is when it comes to Rav Shimon Gamliel figures, when it comes to Pidyon Shvuyim, what's going to happen? The guy's going to end up assimilating among the goyim if you don't free him. Therefore, there's more of a mitzvah to do that. Whereas the Chachamim take the view that here it's more important. You want to keep the guy from dying of hunger. Also, Tosfos points out, practically speaking, when it comes to Pidyon Shvuyim, it means you need to gather a huge amount of money at one time. When it comes to Mazonis, every person can give him a couple of cents and it adds up. So therefore, the Chachamim say that it's more likely that's going to happen. As opposed to Pidyon Shvuyim, it's going to be much harder for one person to lay out all that money, and therefore you want to give him an incentive to do that. Anyway. So the point is, the machloikus between Rav Shimon Gamliel and the Chachamim is not necessarily about whether the master is able to say "Asei mi ve'eni zanach." It's rather in this particular case of Shnei Batsodas, does the slave have the right to say, "You free me," so that way people will have more rachmanos on me? And the Chacham is saying it's not necessary, and therefore it's not necessary. People will have rachmanos on him regardless, and therefore that's not a valid reason for the master to free him.
It can't be. It's about him.
Right, because to free him also would be an essay, right? Okay, Toshma. Let's try to bring another. We're still discussing this matter of asei mi ve'en izonach. So Toshma. Let's try to bring another proof. Da'omar Rav hamakdish yidei avdei. Rav says that if a person is makdish the hands of his eved, now he can't be makdish the ma'isi yodav of the eved for the future, because that would be davar shaloi bala olam. But the hands exist now, so he can be makdish the hands in the sense that now anything he makes with his hands now belongs to hekdish. Oysa eved loiv. Now the problem is that now that eved, any earnings that he makes are going to have to go to hekdish. So what he does is loiv eved oichel. He borrows money from other people and uses that to buy food for himself. But oysa pereya. Then he does work and then he pays back the loans over time. And we're going to see soon in the Gemara. One second, isn't everything that he earns goes to hekdish? How is he going to be able to pay off the loans? We'll get to that soon. Anyway, shmamina yochel arav loim la eved asei mi ve'en izonach. Isn't that an example? Therefore, where the master is not giving him food, that's why he has to borrow money for the purpose. So it sounds like the eved, that it sounds like there you have an example where even where the master is able to say to the eved, you work for me and I'm not going to support you. And the answer is no. No, because you could say the case we're talking about over here is where the master is in fact giving him food. Well, in that case, then in that case, why is he? What is he borrowing money for? And the answer is lahad dofa. The answer is he may be borrowing to be able to eat extra. Suppose the master is giving him the bare minimum of food, but he wants to eat more comfortably. So therefore, he's borrowing money for that purpose from people, and then he'll work and he'll pay back. And he'll pay back those people. But not necessarily. Are we talking about where the master is not supporting him at all? Maybe the master does not have the ability to do that. So the Gemara says, why? In that case, v'leimalei hekdish, then why is hekdish obligated to forfeit, to not take the money that he's making now and allow him to use it to pay the people he borrowed from? V'leimalei hekdish, why can't the gizbar of hekdish tell him, ad hashta sagi loch b'loi ha'adofa, look, until now you managed without that extra food. Now you should also be able to make do without that extra food. So therefore, so uh, So adarabba, everything that you own should belong to me, to Hekdesh. So what gives you the right to go and use it to pay off your debts that you chose because you chose to be eating extra? And the answer is Hekdesh gufe nichale, because you could say that Hekdesh itself prefers it that way. This way, the Eved himself will be stronger and be able to do better work. So therefore, the Hekdesh itself has an incentive to allow him to have this hadofa and to allow him, therefore, right now, he'll go pay off. And then later on, Hekdesh will be able to benefit more from the work that he does. So the Gemara asks, so now, how is he borrowing and paying? How is he paying back anyway? Or Perea? So what do you mean? Oiso Perea? We said that he does work and he pays back his loans, but how? Each time he makes money, it right away becomes Hekdesh because his hands are Hekdesh, and anything he does with his hands becomes Hekdesh. The answer is pachas mishava pruta. We're talking about he does work less than a pruta at a time. So Rashi explains that Hekdesh cannot be chal on less than a shava pruta. Tosfos and a number of Rishonim disagree with that. And point out, first of all, Tosfos points out there's a Gemara in Bava Metzia that seems to imply that not. It lists over there a number of different cases of prutas where we have that a din applies only to a pruta, but not anything less than that. If you're going to say that Hekdesh can't be chal less than a pruta, it should have mentioned that also. Different other Rishonim point out a number of other cases also where we see in various places in Shas where it seems to imply that Hekdesh can be chal less than a pruta. So rather, Tosfos' answer is what we mean is the Makdish himself, when he declares the hands of the Eved Hekdesh, he doesn't intend for it to be chal on less than a prut at a time. So now, less than a prut at a time is not included in the grant that he gave to Hekdesh, and therefore the Eved is able to do work less than a prut at a time. And the Maharam Shif also has a long discussion about the ins and outs of that, about what exactly are the claims between Hekdesh and the Eved. Why can't the Eved say to Hekdesh? Since the Gemara is going to so now we're saying that less than a prut at a time doesn't become Hekdesh. So when we're talking about Hadofa, when we're saying that Hekdesh could say to him, what do you need the Hadofa for? Why can't he say, listen, Hekdesh, you mix out of it. It's none of your business because it's not Hekdesh for you yet. And the Maharam Shif discusses exactly how the deal was structured. That again, we said, Tosfos is saying over here that the master, when he made the hands Hekdesh, doesn't want that less than a prut at a time should become Hekdesh, but Hekdesh still has a certain interest in the guy's Maisa Yodov, even when it's below a prutta, because eventually it will add up to more than a prutta. So the Gemara asks. The Gemara says, "Hochi nami mistabra." In fact, it has to be logical to say that. So what did we say? That was a side point that we mentioned the shava pruta business in order that it doesn't become Hekdesh. But we started by saying that Rav is saying again that when he's makdish the hands of the Eved, then the point is that the Eved is able to, that the Eved earns money and pays off his debts. And we said though we could be talking about where the master is supporting him. So therefore the master owns the Eved's Maisi Yadav to the extent that he can be makdish them. Whereas not necessarily does that show, if the master wasn't supporting him, that he should have the ability even to say that his Maisi Yadav should become Hekdesh, not necessarily. So now the Gemara says, Hochi nami mistabra. In fact, it's logical to understand that Rab's scenario is that where the master is supporting the Eved, and therefore he has the ability to be makdish his Maisi Yadav. But not otherwise. The Omer Rav, because we have another thing that Rav said, Hamakdish Yidei Avdoi, when a person is makdish the hands of his Eved, Oisa Eved, Oisa V'Oichel, that Eved is able to work for other people and he's able to earn money and eat. The Eloi Avda Man Polachle, because if the Eved doesn't do it, who's going to work on his behalf? So now, what do we have? We have two statements of Rav. First, Rav, in the previous statement, Rav said that he has to borrow money and feed him, and he has to borrow money and then pay it off less than a prut at a time. And now you're saying though that he can just work and support himself. So what is it? So Iyamit b'shleimahach b'malav v'ini yochol, but So if you're going to say then that the first case where we're saying that the hektish is chal is talking about where the master is feeding him, and we're going to say that the master is not able to say asei mi ve'eni zonach, he always has to have, if he's keeping the ebed's ma'isi yadav, it always has to be that he's feeding him. Well then shaper v'habashein mala. And then second case is talking about where he's not feeding him, and therefore he has no ability to be makdish as ma'isi yadav shaper. Then it works out nicely. So that would be, then we would see that Rav holds that if the master wants to own the Maisi Yadav of the Eved, in this case he wants to be Machdish them, it has to be that he's supporting him. If he doesn't support him, then the Hektish is not Chal, because he doesn't own the Eved's Maisi Yadav in that case. And in that case, that would be the second statement of Rav, that if he's Machdish Yidei Avdo, then the Eved can still work and earn money and support himself anyway. Because that would be the case where the master is not, where the master is not supporting him, and therefore somebody has to support him, and therefore it's going to be himself. So then we would say that the two statements are consistent, and we'd be saying that it means that so the deal would be, as long as the master is supporting the slave, then he's able to be, then he owns his ma'isi yadav, and therefore he can be makdish them. If he's not supporting him, then he doesn't own them. If he's not supporting the Eben, then he doesn't own his ma'isi yadav. In other words, when we were discussing all this time, can the master say, I keep your ma'isi yadav, but you don't, and I'm not obligated to support you, it would come out that Rav does not hold of that concept. He would hold that the master cannot say that. If he's keeping the Eben's ma'isi yadav, necessarily he has to support him. So therefore, the two statements of Rav, one would be talking about where he's supporting him, and then he has the right to be makdish his ma'isi yadav, and the other is talking about where he's not supporting him, and he doesn't have that right.
When he's supporting him, he can have duff, he can get the better, the more food.
So that's what we're saying. So then he may be supporting him only but simtsum, and the guy wants hard duff, he wants extra food, so then he's borrowing money for that purpose, right? But if you're going to tell me the first statement of Rab was talking about where the master is not even supporting him, the yochol, and that he's able to say, asei mi ve'eni zonach, and Eloi Avda Man Polachle, and you're going to say that if the Eved doesn't support himself, then who's going to work on his behalf? Why? Whoever he wants, he can get money from wherever he wants. In other words, he can go beg for tzedakah. So therefore, then Rav's two statements would be contradicting themselves. If we said the first one is talking about where he's saying that even though I'm not supporting you, I can be makdish your ma'isi yadav, and you'll just go beg for tzedakah, well then why in the second case are we saying that he can go earn money in the regular way and support himself? So that shows, at least according to Rav, that the master cannot say asei mi ve'eni zonach. So good, shmamina, so far, then yes, we've proved at least that Rav holds that way. Now, that's not the end of the discussion, though, because that Rav holds that way, that doesn't necessarily mean the halacha is that way. So the Gemara continues, Toshma, the Omer Rabbi Yochanan, now we have something Rabbi Yochanan says. Now, we know when a person injures somebody else, then you have, there can be up to five different kinds of payments that he makes, Nezek, Tzar, Ripui, Shevis, and Boshes, depending on the exact scenario. So Nezek is, we consider the actual monetary value that was taken away. For example, so the Gemara is going to give us an example over here where a hand was chopped off. So then, from now on, the guy is worth less. If you were to now go sell a person as a slave missing a hand, then he's going to fetch a much lower value. Meaning, in other words, there's a permanent reduction in value. So that's nezek. Tsar is the pain that was involved. Ripui is the doctor's bills. Sheves is the time that he had to take off work while he was recovering. And Boshes is the humiliation that there was. So the Gemara explains in Baba Kama that you don't necessarily have all five. Sometimes you can only have one out of the five, sometimes only two, etc. Anyway, the point is, so here we're going to focus on a couple of them. According to Rashi, we're focusing specifically on Sheves and Ripui. Rashi says a little further in the Sugya that we're not going to focus on Nezek because obviously that belongs to the master of the Eved. There's no question about that. He owns the Eved, therefore he owns the fact that there was a reduction in value. The Tsar, Rashi explains, is going to be included in Refuah over here, as the Gemara is going to explain soon. And as far as Boshes, you actually have a machlokas in Bava Kama, whether Boshes is even applicable to Avodim at all. Tosfos over here learns differently. Tosfos says that no, when the Gemara is going to discuss over here Sheves, it does include Nezek as well. Anyway, so If a person chops off somebody else's Eved's hand, he has to pay the Shevis, the amount of the payment for the fact that the slave missed being able to work while he's recovering, and the Ripui, the amount for the doctor's bills, goes to the master. But Rabbi Yochanan continues, "Va'oisa eved nizan minat tzedakah." That eved now gets supported from tzedakah during the time when he's not working. So shmamina yochol arav leim le'eved asay mi ve'en izonah. So isn't this a case where effectively where the master is saying you work for me and I'm not obligated to support you? Because what are we saying? He's getting the shevis, which is the equivalent, the amount that the slave would have earned during the time when he's now off work because he's recovering. And we're saying that the master keeps that money, and still we're saying that that nizan minat tzedakah, he's being supported from tzedakah. So therefore, that would show that the Rabbi Yechanan holds that he can say, "I say mi vein izonah." The Gemara says, "No, hochav ma'askin and b'mal le'mizonis." Because again, we could be talking about where the master is supplying him food. Well, the question is, if he's supplying him food, hochav ma'in nizin v'nat tzedakah, then again, what is he being supported from tzedakah? And the answer is again, lahad dofa. We're talking about extra. He wants to eat extra during the time when he's recovering. In fact, there is some discussion about that. The Nesivos discusses the point that on the face of it, isn't that included in ripui? The fact that when a person is recovering from an illness, they need to eat extra. Isn't that included in ripui? And so he distinguishes actually between those different kinds of things like that. There's the kind that's more directly related to the recovery, and then there's other kinds where he just wants to eat extra. Then in that case, why is Rabbi Yochanan using the expression nizoin, which suggests that he's getting food bichlal? Then in that case, mispaunus mi boilei. The expected expression should be mispaunus, which suggests that basic mizoinus he's getting, but parnasa, all the other things that are needed to take care of him, then he's getting from tzedakah. But Rabbi Yochanan is saying nizoin minat tzedakah, suggesting that even his basic mizoinus is getting from tzedakah. Why? Elalav shmamin ayochol. So therefore, doesn't that show that Rabbi Yochanan holds that the master is able to say asay mi ve'enizanach? So good, shmamin, that proves that yes, Rabbi Yochanan holds that way. In general, by the way, when we have a machloekas Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, most of the time the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan. And so it is over here also. The halacha ends up being that, yes, he can say, asei mi ve'en izonah. The Rambam, by the way, points out now, the Gemara is going to mention a side point over here about this Shevis and Ripui. The Gemara is going to finish off discussing that point. But
if he's sick, again, he can't support himself.
So that's the thing. So we're talking about, so nevertheless, he can still, to the extent that he can go collect tzedakah, or, you know, nowadays, set up a GoFundMe or whatever, you know, then yeah, they can support himself that way. The Rambam, by the way, makes a point that, first of all, this only applies to adult avadim. And the reason is, since the Eved is able to go around and support himself, so what's going to happen? So on one level, it means, look, the guy's not going to die of hunger because Jews will give him tzedakah, and he has the ability to go support himself that way. On another level, the Rambam says, the fact is, it's not going to be a very long-term situation. An Eved in such a situation, soon enough, is going to decide, what do I need to master for? Let me just run away. And the Eved, and then the master, therefore, is going to lose a valuable asset. So therefore, it's not going to last that long anyway. And if it does, that's not Beistin's problem, because if a person chooses to destroy their own money, then Beistin's not obligated to do anything about it. On the other hand, when it comes to a cotton who doesn't have this ability, then Beistin will force the master to support the Eved, because then otherwise the poor kid's going to die of hunger and he doesn't have the ability to support himself with tzedakah. The Ramah also brings in Hilchos Avodim and Shulchan Aruch, he brings from Yishonim, we mentioned before on Amud Aleph, about the case of Shnei Batsoris, about years of hunger, and the Ramah brings that, yes, Yesh Omrim, that in fact, in such years, then also the master doesn't have the ability to say, Asei mi ve'en izonach, because, again, since prices are higher, and therefore the Eved might, under normal circumstances, yeah, the Eved might be able to beg for enough tzedakah to support himself, but doing Shnei Batsoris, where prices are higher and people are less likely to give tzedakah than not, so the Ramah brings that Yesh Omrim, that in that case he would be required to support him. Okay, so to round out the Gemara over here then. So we said, Rabbi Yochanan said, Omamar, so we said, Noisin Shivter for Osir Rabbi. We said that the guy who cut off the hand of the Eved pays the Shevis and the Refuah to the master. So the question is, Shivter Pshita. Isn't it obvious that he gives him the Shevis? Of course, if we're talking about that the Maisi Yod of the slave belongs to the master, then of course he gets the Shevis. That's meant to make up for that. Rashi adds the point. Now, you can't say that just the Braisa want that Rabbi Yochanan rather wants to tell us the chiddush that the master can say asei mi ve'ene zonach, because in that case, then we didn't even have to mention anything about the sheves going to the master. All we need to say is that the eved gets supported from tzedakah, and automatically we'd understand that it means that the master is saying asei mi ve'ene zonach, you support yourself from tzedakah. Tosfos also mentions the point that he wanted to tell us that the Sheves goes to the master, he didn't have to tell us specifically where a hand was chopped off. He could have just mentioned in general, any case, he could have just said in general, Sheves of a slave goes to the master. So isn't it poshut that the Sheves in this case goes to the master? So the Gemara says, you're right, there's not much of a chiddush in Sheves. Rufu osta yitzrichalei. The chiddush is more as far as the refuah. So here, by the way, Tosfos points out that Sheves over here doesn't just mean what the Gemara elsewhere calls Sheves ktana, which is the fact that temporarily he was off work. Tosfos says it also includes Sheves gdola, also the nezek is called Sheves for this purpose, the fact that there's a permanent damage over here. So Rashi had said that, there's no chiddush that it goes to the master. Tosfos is saying there is a bit of a chiddush in it, but it's included in Sheves. But it's true, Sheves itself, really, the Braisa didn't really need to mention Sheves at all. It's fairly obvious that both Sheves and nezek as well go to the master. The chiddush is as far as the refuasai. Well, the Gemara asks, so what's the chiddush? Refuasei, didehi, what do you mean? It should belong to the Ebed, deboi yitzuibe. He needs it to pay the doctor. So the fact that we're saying it goes to the master implies the master gets to keep it. But what do you mean? He doesn't get to keep it. And if it's just a matter of that it's going from him to the doctor, then there's no difference whether it's going to him or directly to the Ebed. Either way, it's going to the doctor. The answer is, lo tzricha, the chiddush that Rabbi Yochanan is talking about, da'amdu l'cham sheyoyim. Suppose that they evaluated that it's going to take 5 days to heal him. So you're going to have to pay the doctor for 5 days' work. And the ovdloi sama harifa, in the event the doctor used a strong medicine, the itzib plosa yomi, and it cured him in only 3 days. But it involved tsar for the eved. It was a strong medicine. It hurt him, but it healed him faster. So ma'ud tamet tsar didehu. You would have thought that extra money for the tsar maybe goes to the eved. And therefore we're saying that no, therefore Rabbi Yochanan wants to tell us that even in that case it goes to the master. The point is that, in other words, even though it's true it was a tsar of the Eved, nevertheless it doesn't belong to him, it still belongs to and the same thing would be as far as the original tsar as well. All of that goes to the master, because after all he owns the Eved. So any benefit that comes through the Eved, then the master is zeicher in it. Rashi says just like shodeh v'chamodeh, just like, for example, the same thing, anything that happens to his ox or his donkey, he's entitled to the value of it. The same way anything that happens over here to the Eved, he's entitled to, including even the tsar. So the point is, in other words, therefore, so now the two extra days worth that would have been paid to the doctor. Now the mazik still has to pay for 5 full days, because from his point of view, it was going to take 5 days. But the master now gets to keep 2 days worth of that payment, because, and that's what we mean that he's entitled to the tsar. So that's the chiddush of Rabbi. He also goes to his master, but that we're not even talking about. Okay. Shukriya, everyone.